The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
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 Brian's not here, clearly. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 442. I'm Max Scoville. Joining me, Alana Pierce.
Hey, what's up?
Marty Sleva.
Hi.
And Andrew, the lawnmower, Goldfarb.
We got this Game of Thrones pinball machine that you guys know all too well, and that goddamn Game of Thrones theme song is stuck in my head
every
moment.
Is that why you have a headache?
I hear it. Yeah, that probably is why I have a headache.
I'm totally an outsider here, but I hate that theme song. I hate that theme song because it does not go anywhere.
I'm fine with that theme song when I don't hear it.
It's like a loop.
25 times a day.
Because they have to scale it for however many characters are currently dead or alive in the opening credits.
Or what city, like how many cities are in that episode?
They're like, oh, we're going to add an old island. It's just like, but like compare it to like Lord of the Rings or Skyrim. It doesn't have any sense of like up or down. It just is like, it's like a churn.
No, you're right. God, the Skyrim theme song is so good.
I always think that song's about to end and there's that extra loop. And it's like, dun-dun-dun, it like picks up.
Yeah, so anyway, welcome to Podcast Beyond, your number one podcast for people who don't like the Game of Thrones theme. If you like it, you can email us and tell us, I don't care. We got some stuff to talk about. Uncharted 4 is coming out really soon, and have we played it?
What happened to your voice?
I don't know. It's my embargo voice. I can't say much, or I'll get in trouble.
If you say it in that voice, they can't get mad at you.
They absolutely can get mad
at you. If you break embargo in a high-pitched voice, they don't mind.
Yeah, that's
they're like, oh, that's really cute.
I believe that's in the NDA.
He
sold
his butt cheeks in the first act.
Yes, we've played it, and I haven't played much of it. I played about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It's nothing more than that I can say.
Yeah.
But we have a podcast going up later this week.
Yeah. So this will go live at noon or at 1 p.m. on Wednesday. At midnight Thursday, so super early Thursday morning PT, Lucy's review of the game will go up. Oh man, was I just clicking it?
You kept tapping.
You could have just told me not to tap.
Well,
hey Marty,
I'm glad
tap.
We didn't derail the show or anything.
Yeah,
so when is this? Thing go up, write down my swear because I'm mad.
I'm not going to write down any swears. You just got
So anyway,
swear. So at midnight, Lucy's written and video review will go up, and then Andrew, what are you doing?
I was going to write down my swear.
All right, you can do it now.
God
all right,
damn.
You're now the swear master.
Oh, anyway, Lucy O'Brien from the Australian team is reviewing the game. So that'll be up. It's 12 a.m. Pacific time Thursday.
Yeah, and then
The game comes out on the 10th.
Yeah, so Brian, Andrew, and I recorded a 40-minute or so non-spoiler impressions episode of the game, which will go up alongside of that. So you can listen to that. It'll be up on the feed. It's like going to be episode 442.5, an auxiliary episode. We talk in depth about what we love, what we don't like so much. And so, yeah, and then...
It's like a vague question. I've spoken to Brian about it a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have, like, are you all of the same opinion on the game, or is it divisive for
similar.
You?
Similar.
I would say very similar, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, a couple, like, I'm probably very slightly higher than Brian, I think.
Okay. But,
And then next week we'll have a full spoiler cast.
We're doing some live streams and stuff as well.
Like, yeah,
I'm streams. Excited to play this game. Mm-hmm. I was going to play it. Brian was like, I'll take it home on Friday. I'll come by on Saturday and drop it off. You can play all day Saturday. I was like, cool. And I was like, I'm going to play this game, and nope. Just mowed my lawn and did not play Uncharted, so that was cool. Well,
that selfish Brian,
selfish Brian,
definitely couldn't use a win this week.
Yeah, So anyway, I'm excited to play it. I really hope I get to jump in and talk about spoilers. Like, how you see the Jeep's butt cheeks as well as Sully's, and then just rub their butt cheeks together. Mm-hmm. Call of Duty's going to space. We were right. We guessed it. It's got gunjums.
Oh, that was Gundams. Was that a segue?
Oh,
that was
yeah.
a segue. Sorry. You want your pen back? You can have your pen. Your pen.
Damn it, Max!
I'm not going to write down the swear.
Write down the
swear. You
swears.
Have to write down your own swear.
No, I just... Infinite Warfare leaked
a bunch of times. I don't think
so
it's necessarily...
so many times. I don't understand how they didn't catch the amount of leaks.
The Call of Duty machine is fascinating to me because there are
Maybe
so many...
Maybe they just don't care.
I think they partially don't care, and part of it is that there are so many moving parts, and it's like this international thing, yeah. and it's so big in so many places that, like... You know, a lot of games can be like, you know what, we'll just announce 2 days earlier or whatever. Yeah. But for Call of Duty, it's like the shareholders have to know, and it makes such a big difference that I think, like, they're just, you know, they were like, whatever. I don't think they weren't, you know, no one was like, I don't think anyone in the PR team was pretending there weren't leaks, but also, like, they can't officially acknowledge them and all that.
So. Yeah.
It makes sense.
So but, we had a trailer and a live stream that, I mean, I think the trailer looks pretty boring, to be perfectly honest.
I think the trailer was poorly paced. I think it should have been a minute long. I think the opening...
It's like 3 or 4
minutes. I
think
getting an ass rock cover of a Bowie song is sort of just crass.
It wasn't even a good cover.
No, it was not a good cover.
And the first half is sort of just like, we've seen this before. It looks a lot like Advanced Warfare.
It looks a lot like Halo as well, the environments.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But then I thought once they went to space, I thought it visually became interesting.
Yeah,
it did.
It'd be fun. I like there's a part where a robot kicks over a tank, which looks pretty badass.
That's a thing I'm a fan of.
Yeah, the game looks cool. It's interesting how, from what we've seen from the story so far, it parallels like World War II. A little bit in terms of like there's an attack on Earth that's almost like a Pearl Harbor, and then you're sort of hopping from planet to planet, or you know, moon to moon, station to station, almost like the Pacific Front, hopping from island to island.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the game's
I think it was Brandon who first made that parallel, is that it really does look like there's a Pearl Harbor moment, which is
That's like the beginning of the trailer, basically.
Yeah, is an interesting thing to draw inspiration from.
Yeah, and a lot of the director and the narrative designers are former Naughty Dog folks who worked on Uncharted and The Last of Us, and they were talking about how they are trying to tell a compelling war story first, and then a space sci-fi thing second.
That's so exciting to me because we've had the very obvious parallels of Battlefield, Call of Duty, and Call of Duty always sells better, but Battlefield has been, a contender for however many years. Basically since Battlefield 3 and Call of Duty 4, I think, is when kind of this modern era started.
Which was first, Call of Duty 1 or Battlefield?
Call of Duty 4. Oh, you mean like originally?
Yeah.
Ooh, actually, I don't know.
That's a really good question.
I mean, so Medal of Honor was before all of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So I believe it went Medal of Honor...
Battlefield
1942 and Call of Duty.
Brothers in Arms is somewhere in there, too.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, I played the first Call of Duty on my computer, and I was like, this is fun. All right. It's like Saving Private Ryan. All right. And then it was just like, I kind of stopped paying attention to games for a second, and then it came back, and it was like, it's just still here. Like,
and that's so that's what's interesting, and obviously Modern Warfare we'll get to in a second, because the remaster potentially comes with this, depending on which version you buy. But I was going to say it's really interesting to me that Infinite Warfare is going so intensely into space and space travel and kind of this like super ultra modern thing. And if the rumors are right, we're finding out what Battlefield is on Friday, but if the rumors are right, that's a World War One game, which is like totally in the other direction.
They're legitimately centuries apart.
So like if that does end up being true,
that sounds
more
good
so
me.
Than ever, I'm so excited for exactly for those
sales
games to
be
just be dramatically different.
I like that.
What other shooters have we got coming this year?
Titanfall
Two.
Yeah, I mean, those will be the big three. Obviously, we have Battleborn and Overwatch coming out
when
this month.
Doom comes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's curious. We did like the last Battlefield was Hardline, and we got that side by side with what came out that year. Was that
that was
Advanced Warfare, right?
But Advanced Warfare came out in the fall, and Battlefield ended up coming out in the spring.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Battlefield was like monster.
So it was technically the same year as Black Ops 3.
Yeah,
right?
They're kind of doing sort of a separate thing. And I mean, one of those is like a hard-boiled cop drama, and the other two are like laser guns and rocket boots and stuff. So it's like they're kind of already drifting apart, and I'm super okay with that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I prefer it that way.
I'd be super down with like a popcorn junk food, like sort of more linear, big set piece approach on the Call of Duty side, and then Battlefield being like, hey. Mustard gas. How's that doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing I'm so interested to see is on Friday when they show what Battlefield 5 is, what, like, how, if it is World War One, how do those mechanics exist in the game? How does gas exist in the game? How does trench warfare exist in the game? And it seems like it could be cool, but yeah. I don't know anything about game design. But as of right now, I'm just like, I don't know how you do that.
My gut tells me it would be a very, take it very seriously for campaign, and then multiplayer is just a bunch of anachronistic, like, machine guns
I
and all
really
that.
I really hope they take it seriously. Like, World War One is... was awful. It was just so awful.
As opposed to those other wars that were hella cool.
But I mean, if you, I feel like World War One is just the brutality of people just getting gassed, yeah. And you know, it's just it's so awful. And it's I feel like if they just don't paint that right, then it's gonna almost be offensive.
I mean, so we always had this thing. I took a film studies class, and the teacher was really hammered home this whole concept of like proto-fascism and the fact that like there is no form of like military entertainment that's not in some way. Like kind of propaganda, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Like you basically, yeah, short of doing started, a documentary, really. Yeah, you can't have anything that is like titillating and like exciting and like fun that is portraying something that is in real life very awful. You can't have those at the same time, mm-hmm. You know?
I mean, Valiant Hearts again. I've mentioned that before when we've been talking about Battlefield potentially being in World War One.
Yeah, but
I mean that's a story based game, and I mean there's parts of it that are fun, but that game is about it being awful and.
But it's also like stylized. Yeah, like when it's photoreal, it's so different.
And like Matt said, they weren't going for titillation or like sort of excitement or bombastic set pieces.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I mean, it's one of those. I don't know. Video games aren't. Always the most precise medium to tell a story like this. So
it's also just like I feel like the only people who would be offended by it are veterans, and I don't imagine many veterans play Battlefield. So
it's less of a like I don't think I'm not gonna be offended by it, but I just don't know if they could do it. Yeah. Which isn't an offensive like
that's true.
I'm not offended by the content. It's just like well I don't know if this is gonna work.
Yeah.
But I mean it's yeah.
And we I briefly mentioned it, but we should also mention that so one of the more interesting moves with Infinite Warfare is that if you buy any of the premium editions, you're getting Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare included, remastered.
Yeah.
So which what's is going kind on here?
So Call of Duty 4 really started... I mean, like Call of Duty obviously existed before then, but like when Call of Duty became that kind of that powerhouse that sells as well as it does now... started with this, and that was like 2007.
Multiplayer shooters, it's one of those like benchmarks where it's like there's games that came beforehand and then games that came after.
Totally. Yeah. And it's just so interesting how that inspired basically this whole generation of shooters, and it was Infinity Ward, and now it's back. And
I think it'll be really. It's a pack in, right?
It's a pack in, which is
selling
you can't
it
buy
itself.
It separately, which we were talking about that this morning. Like, that might be because they didn't want it to outsell Infinite Warfare,
or because it might legitimately move more copies of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't want it to compete with their own game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the what's like the price point for the versions that come with that?
$79.99 is the cheapest version you can get.
So it's $20 basically.
Version.
It includes 10 multiplayer maps, and we don't have a ton of details about the remaster, but just looking at the footage they showed, it's like it looks better.
Raven.
There's one really weird thing about remasters where everything just looks darker.
Yeah.
Like the lighting, all the shadows just look way darker. When I was playing through the Master Chief Collection, I kept swapping to the old graphics if I couldn't see anything because I couldn't navigate. Yeah. And they did the same thing with COD. It's like, why is everything so dark?
Well, it's because a lot of older games were made for CRTs, which don't show blacks as deeply.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it's always.
I find it really annoying. Like, stop making everything so dark. I can't
navigate. I was looking at the side by side of the like the graphics comparison of like. Modern Warfare, and it was that thing where they're right next to each other, and there's so much going on that I was like, which is the prettier one? I can't tell. There's too much.
Yeah, it's like, constantly
added a lot of stuff. There's a lot of buttons added,
and I'm looking at like,
I mean, it definitely looks good though.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I think that's kind of. I mean, are they charging $80 for this game? Like, that's kind of the argument there.
No, you can buy. There's a base $60 one where you just don't get Modern Warfare.
No, but I mean, for Modern Warfare, is this an $80 game?
No, I mean it's a.
I mean,
like, you cannot buy it on its own. You
have
to pay.
Yeah, but you also then get a AAA 2016
shooter. What if you don't want that?
Then, I mean, that's your choice.
I mean, it's weird because
if you don't want that, then it's an $80 game.
Yeah, the thing we were talking about for a while was like, oh, should the single player multiplayer be sold separately? Mm-hmm. You know, like how do you do that? And like, this is something people have been demanding. People totally want to go back and
also, let's be real. In 6 months or before the next Call of Duty, before like Black Ops 4 or whatever, Sledgehammer's doing or whatever, at some point you'll be able to buy Modern Warfare separately. Yeah.
I think so too.
It doesn't make sense for them to do it now.
I mean, it's also interesting. Like, we don't know how this game is going to like actually exist on your hard drive. Like, is this going to be something you need to boot up Infinite Warfare in order to enter Modern Warfare? Because otherwise, you could buy the game, download Modern Warfare than just sell Infinite Warfare.
Or go on eBay and someone will be selling code for $30 or whatever. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's interesting. So yeah,
yeah, I doubt it's connected that closely. Like, I would imagine it's a separate download, or maybe even on the disc, but it like still boots up a separate thing. But I would be so surprised. I would legitimately like, I would be very surprised if within 6 months you can't buy it separately.
Yeah,
so,
I totally agree.
Both of these are coming out November 4th. So again, fall is slowly getting more fleshed out. We also this morning found out Dishonored 2 is coming out a week later, November 11th. And there's going to be more on...
So you mean to tell me that both Activision and Bethesda are releasing games in the month of November?
Video games. Yeah.
Gosh.
Wow. Very strange.
Yeah. So unlike them.
I'll be curious
to see where, you know, if like, we don't know a ton of concrete information on Titanfall and, like, rumors and stuff, but if Titanfall is this fall, I'll also be curious to see where Battlefield falls. Because
follow-up question. If Titanfall gets delayed, does it become Titan Spring?
Damn it, Max.
yes!
But no, I mean, like...
Stupid jokes!
I like that.
Traditionally, Battlefield...
Any show on the internet! Please podcasting!
Traditionally, Battlefield's that October slot, and Call of Duty follows in November, but if they're pushing Titanfall against Call of Duty, I don't know where that what that means for Battlefield. I think that's super interesting.
Also, which do you like better? Do you like Battlefall or Fall of Duty?
Please leave.
I don't even want to be here. I came over from doing VO of the everything you need to know about Dark Souls 3 lore, and it was like 2 pages, single space.
Dark Souls
of
expert
the most
Mexico
incoherent stuff I've ever
you
read
love Dark
about.
Souls.
I don't know what it means, and apparently no one else does. You have to like dig around.
Yeah. No, Dark Souls has really intense lore. I mean, we could get into that, but let's not.
Save that for the lore cast.
Yeah.
There's something called the Homeward Bone.
Yeah.
Which I just imagine like an incredible journey starring pet skeletons.
I mean, that's kind of what Dark Souls is.
I loved Homeward Bound.
Oh, yeah. I love Pet Skeletons.
Yeah. Okay, here's something I'm excited to talk about more than anything. Spider-Man! It looks like there is rumors floating around of a new Spider-Man game. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A Marvel superhero in a video game? And
which is honestly sort of rare right now. Ever since the Avengers.
No. There was a Spider-Man game on PS4.
No, there wasn't.
Yes, there absolutely was.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I mean, that was trash.
Yeah.
Like, but it was still a game.
I'll be realistic. That was Marvel licensed Activision shovelware.
Wasn't it also a PS3 game that was...
I think so. Probably.
To PS4?
Probably,
I think it was.
Probably came out
it?
For DS. Yeah. Like, it's... That's what I really hate is that Activision was like, oh, we've got this incredibly valuable license. Like, Deadpool was fun, but it was also like...
Deadpool was super fun.
It was super fun, but it was also not a great game.
It was close to being a great game.
Exactly. And if they'd let them spend more time on it, treated it like a AAA game,
if they treated it like
a Call of Duty, it would have been incredible.
Yeah, but the thing was, at that point, Deadpool didn't have the cachet he does now.
Yeah,
if that game existed now, he would.
I mean, I feel like Activision treats third-party stuff kind of like... the Dursleys treat Harry Potter. Like, they're like, this ain't our kid. He lives under the stairs.
Yeah.
And they're in the closet.
Yeah.
Do the dishes.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, people will buy it, whatever. It's a name.
I like the idea that Dudley is Call of Duty and Destiny and Skylanders.
Call of Dudley.
Call of Dudley.
But I significantly remember Spider-Man 3. I played a ton of that game. Had really, really good boss fights, but ever since then, I don't think.
I mean, so Spider-Man
2
was an incredible game, and that was that game. That was this amazing open world game on the PS2
era. Combos,
and
you could incredible swing around the city, and there was side quests.
You were grabbing side quests from people. The swinging mechanics were incredible.
2 and 3 were really good.
Yeah, totally. And then so this week, two different things formed. A listing on an actor's online resume showed that he's doing mocap for a Spider-Man game on PlayStation 4. He also has done mocap on Halo 2 Anniversary, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight. So it was just untitled Spider-Man PS4 project. Mm. But then also there's this Twitter website, something called NerdLeaks, that has a track record for getting things right, rumors right, and little... diggings, right? They also get things wrong, so take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But they said that what they've heard is that Sucker Punch, the developers behind Infamous and Sly Cooper, are going to be working on it.
Real interesting because Spider-Man, the movies, are owned by Sony.
Sony, yeah.
Marvel's being like, we're going to take control of this, and Sony's like, okay, sure, but Sony still does have, you know, a certain game console we're very fond of, and they've got some studios at their command that have a track record of doing... superhero games. Imagine that.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, like, honestly, it's one
Infamous
of those...
style Spider-Man game?
Totally. And, like, between Sly Cooper and Infamous, like, that's a studio that deals so heavily with, like, motion and fluidity.
Yeah.
And, like...
totally fluidity.
Like, allowing you to control characters in a way that few other games do. And that totally makes sense. Like, of any superhero I can think of, like, Spider-Man has that, like, almost ballerina style to him that you do want that sort of control and animation. Mm-hmm. And we haven't heard anything from Sucker Punch since.
It just
what was the infamous DLC called? Last Light?
First Light.
That's the opposite of the Last Light.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't cover this written because, like, I don't know what the legal gymnastics are that gets Activision Spider-Man rights into a Sony first-party studio. Like, that is such I just can't imagine this being real. And it's like, I would love to be wrong, but it's just, I don't know how Sucker Punch could be doing this. Yeah. Like, I also don't know why Sony would take someone in their first-party stable and put them on a licensed game.
I mean, it's a very a veritable civil war of various license holders.
I mean, you say licensed game, like, in a pejorative term, which I totally get, but if done right, Batman's a licensed game.
Sure. No. I don't even mean to say in a pejorative term. I more mean that Sony doesn't own that IP.
No,
so it's like, it's more like, if they make the best Spider-Man game of all time, can they make a sequel to it? Like, that's kind of where it gets complicated. But, yeah, I mean, totally. I think, like, the fantasy of it, like, that pedigree of Infamous and of Sly being
perfect
in a Spider-Man game sounds incredible.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I
just don't know what that looks like.
Legally, that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
When you think about who owns what.
I think, is so easy to imagine, though, like, just, like, the abilities you have in Infamous being applied to, like, what Spider-Man can do, even just in, like, it's not even just movement so much as, like, what combat would look like from enemies, even.
Oh, totally.
Like, it just, it would be so cool. Yeah. I would love to be wrong and love to see this happen.
And it's funny,
I just want some new Marvel games.
I also hope you're wrong, Andrew.
I mean, yeah, I know, I generally hope you're wrong. But yeah, I mean, it's funny, since the MCU existed, I guess we had a Captain America first Avenger game that was sort of like it was fine. They just took everything from Arkham Asylum and it played exactly like that. But since everything's blown up with the Avengers, like, we haven't had a game in the MCU, like a proper like a console game. There were those prototypes of a first person game where, like, you could swap between Iron Man. Oh,
that
totally.
Awful.
It was like Iron Man.
Aside from that, we haven't had like an MCU game.
No, absolutely.
You just had side stuff.
I mean,
so.
There's Disney games. Infinity, which is
Disney,
I guess,
Infinity.
I guess it's not fair to discount that.
But I mean, that's exciting, I guess. Mm-hmm. I love Disney Infinity, love the Lego stuff, but like, I'd really just like to see Arkham City quality Marvel game.
Yeah, and that said, like, I love the Arkham games so much. I actually don't care about a Spider-Man game or even an Avengers game being tied to the MCU.
Oh, no, totally.
Like, I feel like I would prefer it if it wasn't tied to the MCU.
Well, especially, like, Arkham's not tied to the movies.
No, not at all,
incredible.
Exactly. It's kind of better than the movies.
Yes, totally, because you don't have to answer to that.
Yeah, and then it also has the issue of, like, voice actors not being consistent, which is really frustrating, and that really let down Lego.
Yeah.
Marvel's Avengers, that was, like, some awkward, weird chunks that had bad mixing taken from the movies were put into the game, and it was really restricting more than anything. So I think it's better for creativity and for voice acting to not have to tie it to the movies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Completely agree.
Basically, I just want Arkham City and Arkham Asylum versions of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm down for that. Do we have to talk about this? Mighty Number 9. Hi, everybody. It's 2016.
Should we just let Andrew into this one?
It's almost the 3-year anniversary of when Mighty Number 9's Kickstarter launched.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, like, honestly, we don't have to spend too much time on this, but I'm just like, this was the second Kickstarter I ever remember writing about. Like, it has been 3 years, and that is crazy. The second video game Kickstarter, I should say. Like, I don't know. Like, I this now comes out on the same day as No Man's Sky, which is, like, this is a game that no one has really thought that much about versus a game with, like, more hype behind it than almost anything else coming out this year. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I don't know what Deep Silver is thinking with Mighty Number 9 at this point. Like, it amazes me this game wasn't canceled a year ago, to be totally honest. I don't know. I will be very curious to see how this game does. I backed it because I was excited for it. What we've seen seems really cool. Like, I want that Mega Man-style game. But, man, did I want it, like, 2.5 years ago more than I do now. You know, especially with so many smart indie games in between now and then. Like, the indie scene is taking off in such a way that, like, they're really smart platformers. They're really smart, like, just cool sprite-based games. There are so many things that are out there that just have filled this need.
Yeah, there's that term that gets thrown around, which is really just awful, which is, you know, lazy developers. And I don't think that applies here, but I think there's definitely been some bad business.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't
know.
Time management as much as anything.
I just don't know. I don't know, like, if it's just a matter of, like, too many cooks spoil the broth, or is just trying to be too perfect or something. But, like, especially with something, I feel like it got funded because it did seem so achievable. You know, like, when people come out and they're like, we're going to make this awesome open world MMO, like Star Citizen, for instance. Like, that's an incredibly, massively huge, modern, ambitious game, which is getting done. It's also sort of like, has it still in the works, you know? This is taking a formula that's proven. It's just basically making more Mega Man with, you know, and with new graphics.
And that's what people want, though, right?
Yeah. And, like, I don't know what the holdup is, you know?
Yeah, and, like, especially, like, it's dumb, but, like, I really wanted to play this on Vita, if anything, and that version is still not dated.
Hasn't it just been pushed to kind of later? They didn't actually say...
Vita and 3DS are later.
Just nebulously later.
I mean, that could be forever away.
I think there's literally a chance it never comes out.
I agree.
Yeah.
Especially, like, on Vita, which is super crappy.
I'm, like, really conflicted on commenting about Kickstarters, because on one hand, we don't know what's happening, and on the other hand... It sucks for the people who spent money. But I think when you back something, you have to go in being like, I'm backing an idea. I'm not buying a product.
See, I agree with that, except that there's a major publisher on this game now. Like, that's the thing that's weird.
That's where it gets weird.
That's why this is different than, like, one of the Double Fine games.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, and it's like, there are plenty of Kickstarter games that are like, yeah, they're managed by people who don't know what they're doing. So ultimately, it's like, oh, we bit off more than we could chew.
Also, I mean, when you get a major publisher involved. Right? It still started out that way.
I mean, yeah, sort of. Like, Concept is still someone who has worked with, like, I don't know. It's like, I back a lot of Kickstarters, and I'm sympathetic to that. I think the creator of Mega Man, who has probably worked with arguably almost every major publisher, should have experience to know better.
Well, and it's also, like, last year at E3, it's like, Concept is in Armature working on ReCore. Like, Inafune is working on this. It's like, well, okay, this is a really cool 3D robot, whatever the hell it is, game, but what about that other thing we gave you money for 2 years ago?
And the other Kickstarter that he did, which was the one,
Mega Man Legends one.
Yeah, like, it just, there have been... God, like, you talk about just doing too much at once. It's like, people talk about, like, Telltale, for example, is like 9 projects in the works at once. But at least they come out, and at least we, like, see them eventually. Like, this is just such a frustrating case of, like, we've seen little bits and pieces here and there, but I've never, in the 3 years since this game was announced at PAX, there's never been a moment where I really had a grasp of what it was and actually felt like it was coming out. And that sucks. It's like, I put money into this, you know? Yeah. And it's like, it's a very, just a weird, frustrating situation.
So how would you parallel that to, like, The Last Guardian or Beyond Good and Evil 2?
At least those games, I mean, those are disastrous developments too in some ways.
The only person who put money towards that is the company making it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's entirely, it is deceptive to take, like, I mean, Kickstarter as a platform,
I
think
it is literally that people funded it that makes it different. But I think
it's
also,
in my eyes,
it's tricky with games too, because it is like it's an incredibly iterative process to make a game, and it's also like it's not a known quantity. I mean, you saw this with Tim Schafer, who took a while to make Broken Age,
but
like
split it,
it came out and it was gorgeous, but it was also like, hey, we're doing an old school, you know, LucasArts style point and click adventure game. That's what it is. We've got some ideas for it, but like it's not like. You say that, and immediately people are going to start making up their own idea of what that game is.
That's true.
Yep.
And I the Comedy Button came from Kickstarter. Like, we funded that on there, and like we got people who were like, "This isn't what I thought it would be. It's different." It's like,
yeah, I think. Kickstarter culture is very odd because people fund something and then think that they're a stakeholder, but that's not actually what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, to be a stakeholder, you know, you've got to be doing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of funding, not $10 for a pre-order. So it's totally different, and I don't know how much, like, with Mighty No. 9 they consider community input.
And I mean, they made $3.8 million on this Kickstarter
three years ago. There's no way that all of the backers are ever going to agree on
everything. And that's
everything.
The thing, plus Deep Silver, because they have their own business interests, took pre-orders on a collector's edition that has nothing to do with this. So it's
Let's do the math here very quickly for a second. Kickstarter is going to take, I think it's 5 or 10%. Taxes are going to take about 30-40 at least.
Mm-hmm.
That's $1 million
year. Well, like $2 million.
Spread out over the course of 3 years.
Just
it doesn't
not
matter.
That much money.
Yeah.
No.
So.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not even talking about budget. Like, this is probably not even enough to make the game. That I totally agree with. But what I'm saying is, this is three, like, regardless of how much Concept gets or anything, even if this is $3.8 million $1 backers, that's still that much money that has just been nebulously out there in the world.
Yeah.
With no reward for these people.
Yeah.
Like, that's my bigger problem. And, like, I don't normally, like, I used to disagree about Kickstarter stuff all the time because I love Kickstarter.
If they have tiers, like, that's why it's so conflicting. Is, like, they have tiers. That's what people paid for. That's something that you've listed there. So, therefore, you should fulfill it.
Yeah, and none of that has been fulfilled. Like,
that's the terrible part.
I love Kickstarter as a platform because if you look at just the terminology, like kickstarting something, like you're taking something and you're giving it a pushing start and it's going, and that works a lot better when it's a simple concept, not something like a game, because making a game, you know, it's not, you can kickstart a motorcycle. and then it'll drive for a little bit, but then it will run out of gas because that's how that works, because it's a very complex thing. Whereas if you kick a ball, it's going to go as far as it goes.
I mean,
you know?
And that's the thing is if someone's car breaks down and five people get behind it to give it a push to get it started again. And
that's called Patreon.
Just because you got it, you gave it a push. You don't own that car. That's not your car. Yeah. I mean, still the driver's car.
You walk by a dude in the subway station who's playing the accordion and you give him a dollar. He does not owe you an album, you know?
No, but if he makes an album, does if he says, hey, if you give me a dollar, I'm going to give you an album.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the difference.
Yeah,
and it is a mentality. Patreon is an entirely different platform because it totally is rooted in the idea of like supporting people who... like you're helping... You're patronizing these people. You're backing them. You're not backing them, but you're like... You know, you're not an investor.
It's that fundamental idea of like Kickstarter shouldn't be used to pre-order. Like that's just not what it should be.
I agree.
And like the frustrating thing is what I started saying earlier is that Deep Silver accepted pre-orders for literally nothing to do with this Kickstarter edition of the game. That other people now are waiting for something they pre-order that's also been delayed. Those orders are definitely going to be fulfilled before Kickstarter people get. And like this stuff is so nebulous. Like if you look back, I keep pointing at my screen, which people watching the video version are like,
"What?"
Can't
see it either.
But no, it's like the tiers of this. All of these like a retro style manual and a physical box and like a documentary series and all these things. Literally, none of this has ever been seen in 3 years. They did an episode zero of the documentary at one point, but it's like none of this stuff has been delivered whatsoever, and that's so crazy to me because like it might be the most egregious example of a majorly backed Kickstarter that has just gone nowhere and fizzled out.
I would say no matter what they put out, it will not be justified, you know?
Yeah, and that's just crazy to me. And like it's interesting because this week the co-creators of Doom put out a Kickstarter and they had no gameplay to show. They had no prototype. They had no anything. And they started making tens of thousands of dollars, but they pulled the plug because they didn't have the minimal requirements to launch a Kickstarter.
So
now it's much more stringent than it was in 2013.
Yeah, it's hard for me. So
I don't have a problem with the 3 years thing. Like if the thing is Kickstarted and it takes 3 years, like, I mean, we don't know what's going on. I think that's okay. I think if you're promising people tiers for backing a certain thing, that you should fulfill those. But the biggest problem with this entire Kickstarter, or the entirety of Mighty No. 9, including on Deep Silver's behalf, is just the communication has been terrible.
Yeah.
They need to fix that.
It was so good with Double Fine. They literally had a documentary series that was like, hey, this is an episode about how we're all having nervous breakdowns because development is so hard.
Yeah.
Like, it was very obvious where my money, that remains one of the few games, that and Yooka-Laylee, that I backed.
Yeah,
Yooka-Laylee is the only Kickstarter game I bought.
And so it's one of those, like, I totally get this and I totally understand, but like to me, I still can't get too mad at the idea of a crowdfunded Kickstarter thing because
I think that's it.
It gave me Broken Age, it gave us Shovel Knight, it's hopefully going to give us Yooka-Laylee.
Yep.
And if those three games exist and then there's 100 failures aside from that, I'm still fine with the fact that those three games exist because of this platform.
I agree with every word. Like, and to be crystal clear, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I love Kickstarter. I will continue to back games on Kickstarter. I think some great things have come from Kickstarter. This specific Kickstarter sucks. Like, this has been a disaster
through
and through.
It is just the communication that sucks, right?
I mean, yes, but it's partially the communication, but it's also like I'm very skeptical that 80% of these rewards will ever be delivered. I think people will get the game when it's done.
Yeah.
I really don't like Fangamer was involved in doing a lot of the physical rewards, and I like am friends with a lot of those guys. I love Fangamer. I think they create really cool stuff. Again, I'm skeptical that they will even be given the resources they need to create the physical boxes and the T-shirts and like all of the things that are listed here.
In a weird way, $3 million is not enough money.
Exactly.
No, and that's what Double Fine, part of that documentary is them figuring out that a ton of the backing things about sending out posters and shirts and stuff, like, holy crap, that's expensive.
Yeah.
And they didn't realize that because that was Uncharted Waters. And
then. It's so, like... So
yeah,
stupid.
I mean, yeah.
There was a day when Brian and I were just in his old apartment just signing photos for hours, and it sucks, and it sounds like the biggest, most like prima donna complaint, but like we're like,
you guys
oh man,
like a successful Kickstarter, right?
We did it before it was
and
cool,
it
before Double Fine did it. And it was like, holy crap, we made like it felt like Office Space. Like it felt like when we set that up, we were like, we need $6,000 to buy microphones and recording equipment so we make a podcast for fun, and then we made $39,000, like, and we're like, holy crap, what do we do with that? And like, to be totally crystal clear about that. To steal your cool terminology you just said a second ago.
Yay.
I saw $200 of that, you know? Like, we got pizza for 2 years, and we got, you know, vodka, and we made a podcast. But, like, that money disappears very fast.
Yeah.
It does not, you know, it looks like a lot on paper, but it's totally not what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And, like, getting T-shirts printed and mailing, like, the act of physically moving an object across the globe, like if you got someone backing you in Australia or something, super no offense. Expensive. Yeah. It costs a fortune. No offense. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say, you know.
You didn't mean to make fun of your the shipping country. To your country.
I'm so offended. Yeah.
My grandfather started shipping.
I'm sorry, the ocean is so large.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I'm scrolling through these stretch rolls, and mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll be amazed if we see half of this stuff.
That being said, also to be fair, you did buy $10,000 bottles of vodka.
We got one very huge vodka, yeah. And then we had to rent out a building to keep it inside of so that the bums wouldn't go in and drink it all. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, this is the announcement says it's coming to you, PS4, Xbox One, Wii U, and PC. The stretch goals on this Kickstarter are for PS3, 360 versions, for Vita, 3DS versions. Like, it's been a long time, right? And the landscape has changed, and I kind of wish they were just openly acknowledge it and maybe offer a refund to people or whatever. But
again,
I do think that
communication, they just should address it, and they're not at all. And so everyone's confused and frustrated. And I understand both sides. I understand the development is harder than it seems, and that money doesn't go as far as it seems. But I also understand people were promised something that they haven't even slightly seen.
And also, this isn't Deep Silver's mess. Like, they joined way after this Kickstarter was a thing. So it's like, I can see why they
marry someone who has a lot of debt. You inherit their debt.
Yeah, sure. And I think that's part of it.
That's true.
That's why I just don't fall in love.
If you marry a dead woman with a lot of debt, you're a monster.
That is true.
Yeah.
Why don't you marry a dead woman?
What if you're also dead, though?
There's then Corpse Bride starring Tim Burton. Directed by Johnny Depp.
But I like how we started this segment with Max being like, do we have to talk about this? And then we spoke about it for like 20 minutes.
That was a trash fire. All right, so Dishonored 2, coming out November 11th. We mentioned that. Did we talk about it? We said we're going to reveal the gameplay? What kind of animal are you going to possess this time around? Oh, I also have a cute story for you guys. I'm sure you all know about it because we work together.
Oh, no.
So Brian's out of the office for a while. I showed up work today, and on his desk, there was an empty coffee cup that had a cockroach trapped inside it. Mm-hmm. So I went in the kitchen, and I got a little jar, and I got some tape, and I covered up the top, and I took a tiny bit of oatmeal and threw it in there. I took the roach, and I put it in there, poked some air holes in the top, and I wrote Brian Jr. So now I have a replacement Brian for 2 weeks.
He's going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and a cockroach will totally survive in a jar off a dabble of oatmeal for 2 weeks. So I have a pet at work and at home. They're regular animals at home.
A lot of people are really upset about it.
I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, a lot of people keep walking by his desk and being like, ugh.
Even describing it, I was like, ugh. Yeah.
It's kind of cute, honestly. Like, I don't like roaches and they're running around, but it's got like its little antennas and it's like cute. It looks like
they're just very germy.
What's that cockroach from WALL-E? Is that it? He has a cockroach friend? Doesn't he have a cockroach friend?
Because
he lives in filth.
Aren't you thinking of ants?
No, that's a different animal.
You're thinking of a Bug's Life.
Bug's Life.
I don't like a Bug's Life.
I mean,
I feel like I ate a lot of those fruit snacks in like 1999, but man, I did not like that film.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, there's a Persona. Here's what it says. Persona 5 stream Thursday. Marty, don't delete this one.
Andrew, take it away.
Wow. I
just wanted to super briefly mention that this is like weirdly a big pre-E3 week. Like, we got Call of Duty yesterday. We got Dawn of War today. Persona 5 on Thursday and Battlefield on Friday. So it's just like, it's an exciting, I don't know, like, I love this time of year. I love that like stuff is coming, and yeah, this is the first major Persona 5 update since TGS.
What do you think? Do you hear any rumors? What are we going to get from the stream? Are we going to get gameplay? Is there going to be a cat?
Oh yeah, I think we'll get gameplay. I wonder if we'll get a US date. I don't know. I go back and forth. They've already said it's not a worldwide launch, so I think maybe we get a Japanese date. And
I still think this game isn't coming out this year in America.
I agree.
Yeah, I think lots of Persona fans would love a Japanese date.
Damn it, Matt. I my guess is because of Final Fantasy, especially, they pushed this spring.
Stop loving your own joke.
I just want to entertain myself over here when we're talking about Persona.
Yeah, but if this does, I mean, one of those things when we were talking about how fall is shaping up, like, we're all these games are being dated with a grain of salt. Like,
yeah.
We've worked in the games industry for a long enough time to know that something's going to slip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything. Like, things get dated.
How
and
about
then,
Uncharted 4, huh?
Yeah, seriously. No. It just kept slipping. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these games, even if they are, it's like, oh, it's coming out October, whatever. Like, not necessarily.
Push, yep.
Yeah.
I think there's some that I'm super confident. Like, I'm confident Final Fantasy hits that date.
Oh, I'm totally confident.
I think Call of Duty. But I do think there's, like, some of those more nebulous things that, like, we're assuming are fall that maybe will.
I think we keep talking about how do Titanfall and Battlefield exist in the same fall. Maybe they don't.
Yeah.
Like, maybe EA doesn't release two competitive shooters. Granted, if one is World War One and one is Future Robots, like, those aren't necessarily
different.
Yeah, but maybe they don't do that. Maybe, I mean, Ubisoft has a handful of games that we think are coming out this fall, but they probably all won't.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if we see all of those. Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, we didn't put it in here, but there's a Watch Dogs 2 supposed image of the or alleged image of the protagonist leaked today, and like I don't know, like if that game's really like? This year.
Not Aiden Pierce.
Yeah, yeah like? Not Aiden Pierce.
Aiden Pierce is one of the worst hipster. Protagonists.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, sort of like the opposite of Aiden Pierce. Yeah, he was just like a crappy tech bro.
Yeah, he was a dude with glasses.
I'd rather play as a crappy tech bro than a awful trench coat dad. This sports dad with his weird scarf.
Wait, those are the same people?
No,
we're saying Aiden
Pierce is a tech bro.
Oh, yeah. Is he?
I think we can all agree that anyone with the last name Pierce is just not to be trusted.
Terrible people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got some cool stuff to talk about right now.
Oh, before we go on to Purple Fire, also two games coming out this week on PSN are The Park, which I reviewed. By the time this is up, my review is up. I gave it a 7. It's a pretty cool 90-minute first-person spooky game where you wander about. You can't die in the game, so don't worry about that.
It's just spooky?
Yeah, it's spooky. It's a little bit like... It's got spoops in it. It's got a couple spoops. Yeah, it's a little bit like Gone Home.
But instead of going home, you went to the park?
Yeah, you go to... Yeah.
Yeah.
You can never you can never go park again. pretty scary. It's not great. Doesn't have a ton of new ideas, but for if you like scary stuff for 90 minutes...
I'm excited about all these other new games similar to Gone Homes and the park, such as Down to the Store and at the DMV.
Yeah. And
you can
there's
go
a crick.
Store again.
You can't die there either.
You can never go store.
Running around at the crick.
You never go full store.
Wow. We got a cool present in the mail from Ryan Heatman, who lives in South Wales, and said that we give him lots of stuff to listen to with our weird noises that we make. And he sent some of his weird noises, which was Vinyl Records. He's got a band called Forest. It's Forest. And you can find them at forestsw.bandcamp.com. And with some cool rock and roll music, so
and
go check those guys out.
Those were two R's.
Yeah, two R's.
Two R's. Yeah. R-R-R-R. Like George Raiding Rainbow Martin.
Nailed it. On that note, we're thinking about doing like mailbags on the Beyond
Finally,
YouTube.
Bags for men.
God damn it. this is terrible. So if you ever want to send anything... to us that we can
we would love
unbox.
Masculine satchels with which to carry about our various goods and sundries.
It gets tough.
It's free.
I know, it's frustrating.
For years, men have been forced to use boxes, and we demand bags as well. What?
What?
I would like a gunny sack.
You can send stuff that you might like us to open to
625
2nd Street, San Francisco.
Fourth floor.
Floor 4. And
care of
attention beyond or 20 of us individually so we can open stuff maybe.
Also,
so
there's a full address. Yeah, we're going to do one of the...
I mean, if you Google IGN San Francisco, you'll find it.
Now that we have...
also, leave us some Yelp reviews if you can. I'd love that people start leaving IGN some reviews. Yeah.
Can you?
Probably. So, I think you can leave reviews for like prisons and highways. You can leave reviews for... You can give Yelp reviews for bus lines in San Francisco.
Wow.
And be like, people will be like, 2 out of 5, smells like pee.
Yeah.
They all offer services. We don't really
Can totally...
I mean,
you
jails
can?
Jails offer services, but they're not really like... People don't really want them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, people who don't want criminals...
Like, jail is like a restaurant or a hotel that you send people to when you don't like them, you know? Like,
yeah, that's true.
You know? That's not like someone's like, where's a good place to eat? Oh, look, it's San Quentin. Let's try that place. Let's check the Yelp reviews. Wow.
There are only 3, and they're all 5 stars.
Apparently, we cost hundreds of dollars.
The internet hasn't found this corner.
head over to IGN Entertainment on Yelp.com and leave us a nice review. If we gave one of your games a review you don't like, go and, pay us back.
They have to wait 2 more years because there are perfectly reviews in 2008, 2012, and then 2016. So we have to wait until 2020 for the next year.
So it's like a baby cicada. Yeah. It only comes out every 2 years.
But yes, in terms of that mailbag, we're going to be doing probably monthly one-off episodes. We're not doing fewer regular episodes, but we'll do one-off ones that will be...
Extra stuff.
Yeah, they'll live on our YouTube channel, our new Beyond YouTube channel.
YouTube.com/IGNBeyond. We actually, today, after it being up for, I think, like just on a week, hit 6,000 subscribers already, which is awesome.
Nice.
And I know Marty and I have both been jumping in comments and actually reading every single comment that's on there and replying to people, so you can chat
to us
there.
Some of them were hurtful initially, so...
It's getting better.
It's much more positive.
It's a lot more positive than it was when it was on the YouTube main channel, which we kind of should mention, like, a lot of people didn't understand why we did it. It was because the main IGN YouTube channel just had so much stuff, and the podcasts are a totally different format to everything else that we publish. It was also hard for people to find the podcast and differentiate between a breakout and a feature, so it makes more sense for all of the podcasts to live on their own channel.
Also, we're totally copying Kind of Funny in making a YouTube channel for a designated purpose. Mm-hmm. Bunch of big old ripoff artists. The scam losers of the...
I feel like we should mention that that's sarcasm.
I'm joking. It's a joke. I'm sorry. Sarcasm. It's only Kind of Funny.
What? It goes without saying that.
We laughed. Why'd you yell what at us?
It was like a nervous laugh. You just got like beads of sweat on your forehead.
Yeah, because there's a man with a gun over there. Also, this room's very hot.
It's a camera, and there's no man.
What am I looking at? But yeah, I mean, yeah, we removed it because most of the millions of people who subscribe to the IGN main channel want to watch trailers and gameplay clips.
Yeah, they don't want to watch the podcast.
Yeah, totally.
Podcast
and so,
like, that would be comments of people being like, oh, it's really crappy that you guys don't look at the camera. Why don't you introduce yourselves at the start? And you're like, they don't understand this is podcast format.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it makes a lot more sense to have it on a separate channel, which is why we've done that. If you have any questions about it, again, Marty and I have both been in the comments a bunch. Happy to answer those.
Yeah, and it's totally a work in progress. We're figuring out how to differentiate breakouts from full episodes. We're figuring out what order to put stuff in.
So any feedback is good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you have any questions or comments about the food at IGN, you can find me on Yelp message boards. I'm going to be replying to stuff on there.
Damn
and,
Max.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter.
I'll just have you know that as an establishment, we cannot have any bad reviews removed unless establishment pays us because we're...
Is that how that works?
No.
I forget how
that
works. We have
not.
To pay them. I don't know. Yelp is a mystery.
It's also rapid fire time.
No, it's barbell fire. Legally cannot call it rapid fire unless Brian's on here.
But we also thought that, we can take some questions for rapid fire on YouTube now, too. So.
Yeah.
All right. Boopity boppity, it's me, your favorite Italian guy named Brian Altano. And here's
Yo,
a question.
Chorizo.
Hey, I'm making a sauce. Joshua Richardson says, favorite city in the U.S. besides San Francisco? And then world? That's
not,
two questions.
Not San Francisco. Mine's New York City.
Concrete jungle where dreams are made of?
It's the one.
Yeah.
Concrete jungle wet dream tomato.
Oh. Concrete bunghole.
Wet dream tomato.
Mine is Chicago.
Mine is a city that I can't remember. Anchorage in Alaska.
Sounds memorable.
It's very
Who could forget that once the one it's got the
I got
up,
it.
They tie
it's
up the
Anchorage.
Boats there. What do you call
Dachshund.
It? Ducktown, USA.
Mine actually is San Francisco, though.
Really?
I love the city. The first time I was here, I was like, I want to live here one day.
Yeah. I mean, San Francisco's proper.
It's a beautiful city.
Despite a lot of its awfulness, is magical.
Yeah. I just love how small it is. Yeah. And it's contained, and it feels so much like Sydney, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels a lot more like an Australian city.
Every time I leave for a couple weeks and then come back, like, I'm like, oh, this is why I'm here.
It's the below the iceberg stuff that I don't like about San Francisco. Like, when you're walking around, it's like the... like the creatures who live underground. No, it's like...
Tunnel wizards.
San Francisco, I think, is incredible on the surface. It's like more of the economic stuff happening here.
Yeah,
the bigger problems aren't on the surface.
Favorite city in the world? I mean, I haven't been to that many places, but Tokyo. Like, that's kind of cheap question answer. I love San Francisco a lot. I also love Cambridge. I grew up there. That's kind of a little, like, suburb of Boston. It's where Harvard is, where MIT is. It's just, like, it's cool because it's super old, but it's also, like, very, like, high-tech at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I need to travel more. I'm going to Berlin and Crete, so.
My number one place that I want to visit is Berlin. That's my number one.
I'm super awesome for Berlin,
but yeah, all of the places I have visited in the world so far, like, I've been to Europe a couple of times, but I still think that Alaska is, like, just my favorite place on the planet.
You're so weird.
It's so cool.
You're so weird.
I think my number one I want to visit.
No one has. It's amazing.
My buddy's parents moved to Alaska, and I want to go visit.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
The Northern Lights. Incredible.
Yeah. What's Alana's favorite state? I don't know. Alaska. All right.
Oh, my God. What has that cockroach done to you?
I probably have
they actually mind-melded.
Brain spores. Sergio Gonzalez says, anyone going to the midnight opening of Civil War, and what are your expectations? Or any? I've already seen it.
Shut up.
I literally don't want to hear anything.
I saw it.
We're going at 10:45 on Thursday.
Yeah.
So, yes. Put it this way. I really had to pee when it was over.
Oh, so you didn't leave?
Because I didn't go. Also, I was... Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really say much.
Well, now
I
know about Max's bladder.
Yeah, I had like a tall boy before him, you know.
So we're going to... I think us three are going to the same session.
Yeah.
Bringing my dad.
There's a night.
Very excited, because he's currently visiting San Francisco.
Has he seen the other ones?
Nope.
All right.
So why are you going to... Why?
Why not?
I mean...
It's also a really cool movie theater.
It's the 15th movie in a series.
Why not, though?
I
he's
think he'll be just
with
fine.
It.
Yeah. I mean, also, if you like, want it's him to a bunch of people beating each other up. He'll be just fine.
I mean,
he's not going to be like, who are these people? Like, it'll
if
be
you
fine.
Want him to spend 3 hours being confused in San Francisco, just take him to the Tenderloin. Like, there's also people beating each other up there, too.
I don't
so.
Think it's going to be that hard for him to follow.
David Pham, what is the most time you've ever spent on a game? Can include MMOs. Doesn't have to just be single player.
I mean, it's weird because it doesn't get measured well enough, because a lot of the games I've spent the most time on are, like, when I was a kid, I would replay games, like, over and over and over again.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, I think I've said this before, my longest, like, single save file for a game is Fallout 3 on 360.
Oh,
I have, like,
yeah,
300
dude.
Hours in or
yeah.
something. But I may have put more hours into, like, A Link to the Past or Earthbound or like across all those saves.
I mean, most recently, I think mine would actually be Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I had a lot of time in that. Fallout as well. And a lot of time in the original Gears of War.
Hmm. I had a lot of time in Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You hate Gearbox.
I don't hate Gearbox.
Yeah, I feel like all of mine were probably when I was in college, when college was super easy and I just had a ton of time to play games. Yeah. And so it was like, I remember the PS2 era especially, it was Final Fantasy 12, Okami, and Kingdom Hearts 2. Are three I remember, like, I feel like all of them I clocked over 60, 70 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've replayed so many games on different systems and just, like I played Fallout, I think the first 1.5 times on a PC and then switched over to 360, mm-hmm. so, like, my save file didn't really count for anything. It feels like I played a lot of that.
I used to play it so that when you had the Game of the Year edition, you would get a trophy if you got to a certain level on... like bad, neutral, and good, whatever the rankings actually were. Mm-hmm. So I would reload saves all the time and then get to that next level like by like murdering a bunch of people, and that's how I'd get the XP.
Or you just give that one dude water until
all
he's
three
like,
of them.
I'm not thirsty anymore, but you're a very nice person.
Yeah, just that man sitting outside Megaton.
Yeah.
Give him so much water.
Wait, I gave him so much water.
Does he die of water poisoning? Like the woman with the
purified
Wii?
Water.
Yeah, it's purified.
He doesn't like it if you give him the bad water.
If you
water.
Have too much water, you can die. Like the woman with the Wii. Hold your Wii for the Wii and she dies.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we probably killed that man, Andrew.
Aw, thanks.
He's going to die anyways. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how many times I've like started replaying Link to the Past and how many times I've finished it in various systems. So, you know, it's kind of tricky.
Yeah.
Timothy Ralph Weisenhunt says, do you miss Mitch? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Still talk to Mitch pretty much every day, I would think all of us do.
Yeah. When we were, Andrew and I were playing Uncharted on Sunday, and we just like, Mitch just called and we were just catching up. And every once in a while, Andrew and I would be like, oh man, he's like, you got to give me some sort of context.
That's my new song. Is that Matthew Santamaria? I just had a total brain fart.
I'm like, it's really? The cockroach. That's because you swap places with the cockroach.
Yeah. What if it took over my brain and it just found me eating trash more than usual? Oh, on that note, this is a relevant question. Matthew Santamaria says, favorite drunk food? Trash.
Actual garbage?
No, nah, probably.
Falafel.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you're a big falafel guy.
Meat pies.
Or I mean, realistically, pizza.
I mean, pizza and burritos are pretty
good. Yeah, burritos can be good. If I'm too drunk, there's no world I'm going to get through a burrito.
There's a really good sandwich place next to Jack Club.
Burritos are too messy. Yes. Also, the sandwich place next to Jack Club is also messy. Too messy. If you eat those when you're drunk, it's just
that's
like...
That's why I ate the second half.
That's why you stole my sandwich at one time.
A burrito is not too messy. You don't undo the whole tinfoil thing. You peel it up.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do the thing where you take it entirely out?
Oh, no. That thing was... Oh, dude. When I first came to San Francisco, I ate it by completely unwrapping the whole thing. I was just like scolded by people.
That's a pro tip. It's just you make sure it's wrapped in tinfoil and you just unpeel it slowly. And it's actually a really good drunk food because if you don't finish the whole thing, then you like put it down and
seal back up.
And you wake up and you're like, oh, cool, free burrito for breakfast.
I've also seen drunk people like being not careful enough with peeling back that foil, and they chew on some foil, and then they're drunk and sad and have foil in their mouth. So don't do that either.
Yeah,
oh, the big three.
Yeah, yeah, that's a tricky one. Zach Carlson, favorite Childish Gambino song?
Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks. Sweatpants.
Sweatpants is real good.
Or Crawl.
Crawl's really
Bonfire.
Good.
Bonfire.
3005 is really good.
3005 is a good song.
The Worst Guys is really good.
The theme song to Mystery Team. It's my favorite.
Theme song to Mystery Team.
I don't know. All of them?
All of them are really good.
Probably the...
Biblioteca from Community. Does that count?
Wait, we can't say the thing. He was almost in a game.
No, we cannot say that.
Okay, we can't say that.
What?
Probably can't even say that.
I could say he was almost in a game. It's
he was
fine.
Almost in the Derek Comedy Spelling Bee game.
Telltale Comedy presents...
Yeah, Derek Comedy teaches
What if they
would
have made a Mystery Team game?
That would have been awesome. I love Mystery Team.
Have you seen Mystery Team? You should watch that movie. It's real good.
Yep. Like Kemper's in it. Now it's seen in...
So Dan for Breckles, those of you, Schmidt, I don't know who missed this.
Catch on Netflix.
Childish Gambino is Donald Glover's rap name. Donald Glover from Community, and I don't know. I don't know where people don't know.
He's also like totally my favorite maybe artist in general.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I like hardcore music and Childish Gambino. That's it.
Yeah. All right.
Just those two things.
Leonardo Cowabunga Talavera says, can I get a happy birthday? 21 today.
No.
Shots. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Good luck.
Can I
with
play that?
That?
I should have had the happy birthday song queued up.
We're not allowed to play that. Legally, we cannot play that happy birthday song. There's a fun song. It's if you search Disney happy birthday song, it's when it's about like It's about singing about a bunch of different animals doing stuff. It's real weird.
People who want to do something good special
one
for
of
you.
The lyrics is, I want to do something for special you. For you. Which special we've adapted in to in you and on you. You.
Whoa, I had never heard
of
in you.
Yeah, that was you. That happened today. Yeah.
Yikes.
I mean, it's really just dirty across the board.
On you is my favorite one.
Those are your recommendations for just going to check out that bad birthday song. It's a real bad one. I'm glad that they finally killed that old woman who had the copyrights to the birthdays, and now they don't have to sue them anymore.
Isn't that Michael Jackson?
Probably.
No, it was Sarah Beth's birthday.
Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, she was from all that.
Sarah McLachlan's animals all escaped from their cages, and they bit her legs until she died.
Yeah. In the arms of an angel.
A true story. The Sarah McLachlan story. Thank you all for joining us. Oh, my God. All right. So, Podcast Beyond. If you want to email us cool questions and stuff that we sometimes answer on here, it's just beyond@IGN.com. And if you want to join in for the fun of Rapid Fire, that's at facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond. And be sure to check out
our... Oh, you can do it on the YouTube channel.
I was just getting to that, Alana.
Oh, will not be what is it like to be interrupted?
I don't know. You should listen to the first 200 episodes of The Comedy Button, where I'm very familiar with that concept.
I miss Brian.
Yeah. So anyway, go to our YouTube channel, and then that's it. That's all of it.
Wow.
That's all of it.
Hey, Max, what's the URL of that YouTube channel?
Facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond.
YouTube.com/IGNBeyond.
I don't know. I've got to go... write an article about Kylo Ren.
Why do you have keys? Why did you get your keys?
I gotta go get my car and write.
I can only write in my car.
I
gotta
go pick up my dog from daycare. I don't even have a car.
Dirty dog.
What? Huh?
Is Peppers at daycare?
Sometimes I do say Peppers at daycare. Actually, one of the men at the daycare is a Beyond listener. So
that's cool. So I was like,
Ernie? I forget your name.
Yeah, there was a guy at the one of the waiters at Buca de Beppo. Yeah. That was very nice.
Oh yeah.
I'm very embarrassed that he's seen us that twice.
My Uber driver at 3 a.m. last week.
Yeah, in Vegas, we got a drink at the mall where you bought your shirt, and the bartender there to us.
So shout out to all of those people.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's like Fight Club. It's real weird.
Gave me a discount on TV. That was cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jeff, who I used to work with. He listens to the show.
Shout out to Cisco, as always.
Shout out to Cisco. Hey, Cisco. Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you guys want to go do other stuff
can
now?
We shout outs?
I don't know.
Definitely my mom. Yeah. The entire country of Australia.
Everything. There's someone in that country you don't like.
Country and continent.
Huh. I thought Oceania was a continent.
I can name one.
You can name one
you
what?
You can name one?
Yeah.
You can name one what?
A person I don't like in Australia? I don't know why I'm like, tell me. Like, surely there's plenty. Like,
I mean, you lived there until you were 21. Yeah. Yes, I'm sure there's someone you dislike.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, this was fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we've done our weekly
I can definitely name three people you dislike in America.
It's the three of us.
Oh, three of you. Yeah, no, you're totally right.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Brian Jr., my cockroach friend.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of Brian Jr. either, but...
I love that I'm just hoarding vermin at my desk. I don't know. Really
yeah. Bye, everybody.
Right. Oh,
you can find us on Twitter. Alana is at Char Alana's side. Marty is at...
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.